think I mentioned when we said lesson 9 was about the power over nature. Sometimes the word nature, used in different senses, it's just a natural thing. It just a natural thing happens. God created the heavens and the earth, and He put into effect the powers of nature. Each tree, each plant produces of its own kind, animals the same thing, and so on. That's nature, but those things came about by miracle. But now the natural order of things that God started continues. So what this is about is, as you've looked at the sheet, power over nature is talking about Jesus working miracles that have to do with, well, we've got some on the board. I'll tell you what that's about in just a moment. It has to do with walking on the water, feeding 5,000 and 4,000 men. What I have here on the, does anybody else need a copy of lesson number 9? What we have on the board is, yeah. Oh, yeah, I gave you 2. Okay, well, there's 2 for them. What we have on the sheet, let me put it this way. What we have on the sheet is just miracles that Jesus performed from here, there, and everywhere in the accounts. Taking those miracles from Lesson 9 sheet, this is the chronological order in which Jesus did them, which I don't know why. In my mind, that's the way that I would put them on the sheet, but Jeff Archer didn't. That's the guy that made these sheets up. I wouldn't have put this one on here. Creation, yes. The Word of God had something to do with creation, didn't He? And we can discuss that. But we're talking about miracles of Jesus. He wasn't Jesus when that happened. And you say, well, you're really persnickety about that. Well, okay. But the first in this, just in Lesson 9, all the miracles, of course, that Jesus did are not on Him. But the ones in Lesson 9 are in chronological order. And the catch of the great catch of fish came before the calming of the sea. Jesus calmed the sea 2 times. The first one here, and then over there, number 5 is the other one. One time He walked on the water, the other time He didn't. This time, you correct me if I'm not right, this time here, He was in the boat, and He was asleep. And the storm came up on the sea. That one over there, the disciples were in boats, and He came out to them walking on the waters. And both times He calmed the winds. Feeding of the 5,000 men plus, each time it said men. That happened fairly early, but then over here we have the feeding of the 4,000, chronological order. And then I think He calls it on here, yeah, fishy money. That's the reason I put this up here. We'll talk about that. And then the withered fig tree. So, just by way of interest, I thought I would put that up there and let you know that if you already probably figured it out, but we will look at them as they are on this sheet rather than on that. But I just thought I'd show you that some of the things that Jesus did were quite early, such as the great catch of fish. Okay. quickly going through the questions for review. What was Jesus' part in creation? Thank you. Anybody else need to, just came in, need a sheet? Before we look at those questions for review, though, let me again emphasize at the top of the page, the lesson aim is to recognize Jesus as the Son of God through the power that He exerted over nature. And that reminds me that I wanted to read you something here, which is an excerpt from a Bible that's in chronological order. And the fellow says, and it backs up what we're saying here as to the aim of this lesson. It says, it is one thing for a man to teach what he claims is the truth. It is quite another thing to demonstrate one's authority to claim that truth. That is why the miracles which Jesus performs are such a vital part of his ministry. They are not being performed merely to entertain or to show off his divine power or even to convince the skeptical. Nor does Jesus heal the sick and raise the dead simply because of his great compassion for those who suffer. We mentioned last week, the week before, and it brought up that Jesus did do miracles because of his compassion for people, but that wasn't simply the only reason. We've already read some that was written. More than this, the miracles are means of confirming the message that the kingdom of God is now being established with power. God is establishing his rule through Christ and proving it with the miraculous power which Jesus exercises over the forces of nature, over the spirit world, and over death and disease. Mark's account takes Jesus from his teaching in parables and follows him throughout Galilee as he confirms the authority of his teaching with miraculous works. So later on we'll be looking at some of the parables, and we handed out a sheet that one side is the parables of Jesus and the other side is the miracles of Jesus. Jesus, it seems, would come in and he would teach them with parables. He'd work some miracles, and then he'd teach them with parables again. Now, that didn't mean that there weren't some interspersed there, but in his teaching with parables, the miracles would then back up that he is who he said he was and had the right to teach those things that he taught in parables. But anyway, that's another subject perhaps. But I wanted to emphasize that last time in Lesson 8 and this time in Lesson 9, the purpose, the aim of Jesus working the miracles is to show that he's a son of God through the power that he has. So that's what we're looking at today. Now this one here, the first one on this lesson as well, is Jesus and creation. And as I said, he wasn't Jesus back then, but he was the Word. And what was Jesus' part in that creation? We'll just look at these very quickly, these questions for review. So if you know the answer, okay, got a hand back here. Okay. Okay, that's Hebrews, the first chapter. He created all things. Barb? Okay, and that's the passage here on our sheet, John 1, 1 through 18. Colossians 1, verse 15 through 17 is another passage, and it's talking about Jesus there. And the important phrase there is, in him all things consist. Kind of an odd, and I'm not sure what other versions say other than the one I just quoted, but in him all things are held together is actually the root meaning of that word. In him, Jesus, are all things held together, meaning they're not only the heavens, the earth, the universe, and so on. So if he didn't hold it together, I guess the assumption is you'd fly apart. By whose word is the world kept in store for the last days? I want to skip that. I don't want to discuss it right now. Sorry about that. Number three, how came Jesus to Simon's boat? I'm not sure which one he's talking about here. Are you? Okay. And how did Peter demonstrate his faith in Christ as the Son of God? Is it connected with his walking on the water? Are we still talking about that first? Okay, so Simon at first demonstrated his faith in Christ. And what happened when he looked away? He started to sink. So Jesus had power over the, what's the word I want to, gravity, when you get in water, on water. You and I walk out into a lake and we just keep walking, we're going to sink. But he had power to walk on the water, and that's when he also, that's number five up there, that's when he calmed the sea. Laverne? There's an application there, yes, if you want to use it like that, in a spiritual sense. Peter took his eyes off Jesus, but that's where his faith was founded. And he saw, what did he see besides Jesus when he took his eyes off Jesus? He saw the waves and so on, and he got afraid, lost his faith that he could do this, and began to sink. Laverne's point is that in a spiritual sense, if we... figuratively speaking, if we take our eyes off Jesus, off his word, off his instruction, we'll begin to sink spiritually. Okay, number five, was there something before we go on here? What effect did this catch have on Peter and his partners? Now, what catch are we talking about, do you suppose? He doesn't give us a passage there, does he? Okay, talk about this one here. And so, what was the situation with Peter and his friends there, his partners? Ted? Fished all day, fished all night. Sometimes they fished at night. Okay, and they hadn't caught anything, Ted's right. And so what did Jesus tell them? Cast your nets on the other side. And what happened then? Why'd their net break? It had so much fish in it, their net started breaking. Where are they, by the way, when Jesus walked on the waters and when they had this great catch of fish? Sea of Galilee. We know where that is. You've got some map in your material. Okay, that's the largest sea in Israel. Inland sea, of course. And it's in the northern part of the land, and it's water flows into it from an area up down Mount Hermon, and then the Jordan River flows out of Galilee down to the Dead Sea. So that's where they are, and that's where the disciples are more or less home, and Capernaum is more or less where Jesus is doing a lot of his teaching. And so at the Sea of Galilee, by the way, just a way of interest, maybe, how low below sea level is the Sea of Galilee? How low is the low of the Dead Sea? What's the level of the, how much below sea level is the Dead Sea? And I've told you both of them are below sea level. The Dead Sea is 1,200 plus feet below sea level. Sea of Galilee, 692, I think it is. So, Sea of Galilee is also very low, and it has hills. We wouldn't call them mountains like Mount Rainier or Baker. Mount Hermon's on up the way north of there, but it's not even as high as Mount Baker. Anyway, it was prone to have winds come around, kind of like a funnel, into the Sea of Galilee from those hills around it. And sometimes storms would come up suddenly. And I don't know if that happened here, but that's what I would think happened. The guys are out there fishing, not thinking about a storm that comes up. And over here particularly, well, he had to calm the sea here too, but on this particular place, or on this particular instance, they were out just fishing, and and didn't catch any fish. So the question is, what effect did this catch have on Peter and his partners? Just didn't affect them at all? Okay, Peter confessed what was it, Kayla? Oh, Peter said, "I'm a sin." Yeah, Peter confessed he was a sinful man because he was awestruck by this fellow that told him to cast on this side, and he could they could get a whole lot of fish. That's against them. These questions for review are jump around here and there. Number six is, where was Jesus during a certain storm? He was what? Okay, Jesus was asleep in the stern of the boat. And the disciples got excited about the waves and the wind of the sea, and they had to wake him up. And they said, "Don't you care?" What? Yeah, what happened? Do you not care that we perish? I guess we've answered number seven. I was looking at it and see if it's connected. What did Jesus' disciples do? They woke him up. What did Jesus do? He calmed the sea. Number eight, where did Jesus take his 12 disciples upon their return from the limited commission? This doesn't have anything to do with miracles, does it? But it's connected with some of their miracles around. Jesus sent out some of his disciples to go and teach. And I put the word 12 in there. Where did Jesus take his 12 disciples upon their return from the, quote, limited commission? And you can answer that, and then I'll get a look at the next one as to who followed him there. Did you get that one? He took them to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And we won't go into the details there. That's Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 5 through 15. Who followed him there? The people that had seen him do miracles? Just by way of information, as I said, this instance here that he's talking about in number 8, is a time when Jesus only sent out the 12 disciples. Later on, he sent out 72 disciples. This one here, where he sent out 12, is called a limited commission or instructions. Do you know why we have that in quotes? Ted? Is that the time he sent them out by two by two? Does anybody know the answer to that? Look it up. Number 9, I'm not going to tell you. What problem arose because of their being there? That is, when they went across the Sea of Galilee. These people followed him there, and there was a problem. They were hungry and no place to buy food. Number 10, how much food did it require to feed the 5,000 and 4,000? That's kind of a, I thought about that. How much food did it take? Well, it took all that they ate. I don't think that's what the question's about. So how much was there that they were able to take, and Jesus worked a miracle and then they ate? The feeding of the 5,000 men, how much was there that Jesus worked a miracle on. Five loaves and two fish, the feeding of the 5,000. And the 4,000, what did Jesus use to make a miracle to feed everybody? The first one, 5,000, five loaves, two fish. The 4,000, seven loaves and a few fish. I don't know how many fish in that one, but there were seven loaves there. The next question asks, let's see, I believe that's what I'm thinking of. Okay, yeah, number 11. How much food was taken up after the 5,000 fed? How much food did they have left over? 12 basketfuls. How much when they fed the 7,000? He fed the 4,000. Seven basketfuls. Okay. After feeding the multitudes, where did Jesus send the disciples? And what happened to them there? And who came to the disciples there? And how did he come? I don't know the answer to any of those. Do you? By the way, I'll tell you where it is in a minute. There's typographical error, typos in these scriptures up here. If you tried to read them, you found out. And I'll tell you what they are in a minute. Okay, we don't know the answer to 12 and 13. Don't know what the question is. How did Jesus pay the tax required of him? This is number 14. That's the fishy. Where did I put it here? That's the fishy money. People came to Jesus, disciples, and said, does your master pay the tax? And they said, yes. What did Jesus say? Interesting comment he made. The son of the king doesn't pay taxes, paraphrasing it. But in order that we not cause, and I'm paraphrasing highly here, it cause people to stumble, we'll pay the tax. Peter, go and catch a fish. Go fishing. And the first fish that you catch, open its mouth and you'll find the coin to pay the tax. Is that what happened? Okay, that's what happened. That's the fishy money. So, Jesus has calmed the sea. He's walked on the water. He's fed 9,000 men plus women and children. And he now has told a fellow to go catch a fish. How did that fish just happen to be the one that had the coin in its mouth? It must have been a miracle, huh? What did Jesus do to the fig tree? He came along and there's a fig tree. He wanted a fig. He liked figs like Maybeth likes figs. Made the fig tree barren. Barbara, do you have something else? Okay. If you want to see a fig tree, come to our house. We've got one in our yard. I think it's a mission fig. They're black. Well, I call it brown. Anyway, as Barbara said, the fig leaves are large. We've had that tree, I transplanted it probably 5 years ago, and haven't had a fig on it yet until the other day. I happened to be looking at it. There's one, and it was already ripe. Just one fig. I thought Jesus had cursed it, but we did get one fig. Maybeth was down the street. I brought it in. I don't know where she was, but anyway, she wasn't there at the time. I brought it in, set it on the counter, and I was going to share it with her. One fig off that tree in 5 years. I went back to my office and started studying. I forgot about it. She came in and ate it. My sister, I told my sister about it, and she said, well, you should have wrote a note. But I found three more on it yesterday, so anyway. Okay. Interesting about fig trees. Jesus was looking for one to eat. Anything else about the question for review? Yeah. 5 years and no fig. Yeah, well, I thought it was cursed maybe already. No, it wasn't dead, though. It didn't wither. It wasn't withered, and it's not dead. This one, when Jesus cursed the tree, it died. It was withered. Jesus taught a lesson about that, but we can go into that maybe in a little bit. Anything on the question for review? What claims did Jesus, number one in the question for thought, what claims did Jesus make for himself based upon these miracles over nature? What were they valid and why? What claims did Jesus make for himself? Son of man? Son of God? And if he could work miracles, were those claims made valid? All the things that are beyond the power of mere man. Yes, go ahead. Okay. I and my Father are one. He works and so do I. I believe that's John. I can't remember the passage right now in John. We've answered the why. Were they valid claims? And why is because he worked miracles. Jesus reproved his disciples for not properly understanding his miracle in Matthew 16. Wherein had they failed? Matthew 16 is not up there at the top, is it? So this is a new one. What's that passage about in Matthew 16? You can turn there and read it. Matthew 16, verse 5 through 12. The disciples came to the other side and forgot to take bread. Is this the passage? Am I looking at it right? Yes. I didn't think it was at the top, but anyway, they didn't take bread. And Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They reasoned among themselves, saying, we took no bread. And Jesus said, and Jesus, perceiving it, said, oh, you of little faith, why reason among yourselves? Because you have no bread. Do you not yet perceive and neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not perceive that I spake not to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they that he bade them not to beware of leaven of the bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So what was the lesson from, one of the lessons, from the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000? We don't have any bread now on this particular occasion, the disciples say. You've forgotten already that there are 4,000 and 5,000 fed. And he said, I wasn't really talking about the bread, shall we say, the yeast, or the leaven and then the bread, the literal bread. But I was telling you about the leavening of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he talked about that a number of occasions. Beware of them. Why? What is the illustration of leavening in bread and the Pharisees and Sadducees that Jesus is trying to teach them here? Right. And these people that were quote, leaders of the Jews, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, would speak, and a lot of people would listen. There's the leavening effect. Jesus said, beware of that effect that these people have on others. Leavening is used a number of times, well, a lot of times, as far as that goes in the Bible. When they left Egypt, they were not to put leaven yeast in the bread for the Passover. And a number of times in the New Testament talks about being aware of the leaven, not in just in the, quote, Gospels, but also in some of the letters of Paul. We've already answered number three. Why was Peter able to walk on the water, and why did he sink? Anything else on that one? Number four, why did Jesus consider himself exempt from the temple tax? Should we need to read that one? Seemed like I said something like that, didn't I? Yeah. Matthew 17, if you're still there in Matthew, is the next chapter. Let's go ahead and look at that, because it is something that Jesus said. And here, this fourth question says, why did Jesus consider himself exempt from the tax? Matthew 17, verse 24, when they had come to Capernaum, they that received the half shekel came to Peter and said, does not your teacher pay the half shekel? He said, yes. And when he came into the house, Jesus spake first to him, saying, what think you, Simon, the kings of the earth, from whom do they receive toll or tribute? From their sons or from strangers? So Jesus asked Peter a question. And when he said, that is when Peter said, from strangers, Jesus said unto him, therefore the sons are free from paying the tax. But verse 27, but lest we cause them to stumble, go to the sea and cast a hook, take up the fish that first comes up, and when you have opened his mouth, you'll find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for you. So, what was Jesus implying then? I mean, I guess that's implied in this question here. That the son of the king doesn't pay a tax. But the kings, they tax the strangers, as this old version says. Do you suppose, and I don't know, this is a supposed question, so we really don't know the answer. Do you suppose Peter understood what he meant? It doesn't indicate in that passage, does it? What is the implication that Jesus was making to Peter when he said that? Patrick? So that was Exodus 15, right? 30. Okay, that's reading, Patrick read from the Exodus account where the children of Israel were to pay a tax, really, for each one. In the New Testament, the tax was for the temple. There's a temple tax, and which is amounts to the same thing. But Jesus is implying here something about a king and a son. The passage is read for us there. Everyone that was a Jew of Israel was to pay that in Exodus, the 30th chapter. Here Jesus is implying something. And I said, I assume, because it doesn't say, that Peter didn't understand it. What did Peter not understand? If you get the gist of my question. Probably didn't understand. But Jesus was implying something here. And it's implied what he said, so that we won't cause these people to stumble, we'll do this. Okay, he's the son of the king, son of God. I saw a hand back here. Go ahead. Similar. Okay, that's what it's implied when Jesus used that as the son of the king doesn't pay that tax, so we really don't owe it. But because so we will not cause these. This old version I read from says stumble. Give me another version of the word. Then we'll go ahead and pay the tax. Go get it from the fish. Does that make sense? Isn't that what Jesus is saying, implying? Many times Jesus would teach something, and the disciples didn't grasp it. And as I say, I don't know if Peter did here or not, because it doesn't say. But I kind of doubt if he did, because they didn't understand until some time later. Even after Jesus, just before he ascended into heaven, they didn't understand some things that he had taught. But anyhow, that's something that has always struck me, that Jesus has implied something there, that he was the Son of God. He was the Son, and he didn't have to pay that tax. Yes. Right. 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 And that's a good point, because many times the people looked at Jesus only as a man. Even though he worked miracles, they still looked at him that way. They were blind with their eyes, speaking figuratively, of course, hardened in their hearts, and could not see what Jesus was saying, and then confirming it by the miracles. Go ahead. There could be a parallel there, and as you said, this passage doesn't bear that out, but that we, as sons of the king, will not pay the tax, if you don't call it that, the burden, the wages of sin, which is death. Jesus didn't need to pay the tax that we're talking about in this passage. And if we are sons of the King, sons of God, the debt has been paid for us. And by faith, we grasp that, so to speak, and do not have to pay it ourselves. He paid it for us. Go ahead, Laverne. Good point. Right. That might be to use this passage and the wording in my version. The strangers pay the tax, Jesus said. We don't. Okay, anything else? I think there was another question, wasn't there? Now, number four, we've answered number five. Why did Jesus curse the fig tree? Actually, we didn't answer that. We answered in the sense that there wasn't fruit on it like he expected it, and so he cursed it. What's the lesson there, though? He taught a lesson that is something that we need to look at. Go ahead. If I understand what your comment is, let me see. Okay. The being fruitful is a lesson. What is it, John 5 or 10? I always get that mixed up where Jesus talks about you're the vine and I'm the branches. 15, 5, 10, 15. Okay. All right. Jesus said, if you do not bear fruit, it's good to be cut off and cast into the fire. Bearing fruit is another thing that Jesus would teach here about the fig tree. Patrick?
Mark 11, it
was not what? Okay. Okay. Well, quickly, and we're going to run out of time if I don't do this. Jesus' lesson application amply demonstrated his deity by his power over nature. Even though we have not seen the miracles, these that are written, the miracles that is we're talking about, in order that we might believe. John 20, verse 29 through 31. Many other signs Jesus did in the midst of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these were written that you might believe. So that's John saying, that's why we wrote these things, so that you can have a faith. Now, very quickly, over here, and make sense, but now it doesn't matter, maybe. up here on the passages, the tempest, got Matthew 8 and Luke 8. You also ought to put Mark 6, 45 through 52 up there. That should be up there. Down here where it says walking on the water, in Mark 6, verse 45 through 52, that's not where, that passage doesn't talk about him walking on the water. That ought to be up here with Matthew 8 and Luke 8 on the tempest. Let's see, what was the other one? It seemed like there was another one. Yes, the next one where we have fishy money, and it says Matthew 17 and John 6. That John 6 ought to be up there walking on the water. Where it says fishy money, the only passage that talks about fishy money, as we talked about, is Matthew 17. John 6 is about walking on the water. Check that out and see if I'm correct. You get that? All right, let me hand out lesson 10, and that's what we'll look at next week. I'll let you hand it out as you take one and pass it back. And come back up here and give the culps one. Thank you very much. We'll quit there.